When you have birthday, so how you have birthday parties, we celebrate, we do Mrityunjaya Homa, Ayushya Homa. Ayushya Homa means for the longevity of the life. For a person to live a long, healthy, long life and healthy life it must be. For long, healthy life, we perform Ayushya Homa. For the child's birthday comes, and he perform Ayushya Homa. Okay, whole year he has lived, and for next year, again, the whole next, till next birthday, he will be very healthy. Like that, we perform this Ayushya Homa for the good health and the long life. Healthy long life, okay? In order to living a sick long life. Healthy long life. Healthy, happy, long life, prosperous life. And then, so birthdays, this is the mantra to be chanted. We chant as many times as possible, at least 108 times. Okay, Mrityunjaya mantra. Because if you want to bless any child, any elderly, for your own birthday, the best thing to do is get up in the morning, brush, have shower, sit and do the japa. Best prayer. You cannot ask a better thing on your birthday than this. Because it's a Mrityunjaya mantra, that's why it's called Mrityunjaya mantra. That Om Trembakam, Mrityunjaya. Now, because many people are missing the class, let me do this mantra. So, it's good to know complete mantra. Mrityunjaya mantra. Mrityuhu means a time factor. Kalaha. Death. Lord Death. The Lord of Death, the Lord Death, Yamaha, Kalaha, time of the time factor is called Mrityuhu. And Jayaha literally means victory. And here Mrityum Jayaha means Kalanai Vendravan. One who is victorious over death. The one who is victorious over death is called Mrityum Jayaha. And who is the one who is victorious over death? Other than the Lord, nobody else is victorious over death. Every human being, every individual is subject to death. Understand now? So here, Mrityunjaya means Lord alone is victorious over death. When you say Lord is victorious over death, and here Mrityunjaya mantra means this is a mantra which is chanted repeatedly to overcome the fear of death. By invoking the grace of the Lord as the one who is victorious over death. How can you become free from fear of death? One can become, is it possible? Definitely it is possible. That is the first thing. One can become free from fear of death. So purpose, what is the use of becoming free from fear of death? If you become free from fear of death, you become free from the very phenomenon called fear for good. And then becoming free from the fear for good, in fact becoming free from completely being insecure. It's a freedom from insecurity or freedom from being insecure, okay, and freedom from the sense of being insecure is what? Freedom from fear for good. And that is freedom from fear for good is in fact freedom from fear of death. They're all one now. I can tell you, freedom from fear of death or freedom from the very phenomenon called fear for good, or freedom from being insecure, or freedom from the sense of being insecure, all these sentences mean the same. And so for this freedom from fear of death and freedom from fear for good, one needs to have abundant grace of the Lord. And to have the grace of the Lord, one needs to invoke the Lord's grace, Lord as the one who is victorious over death. That is why here Mrityunjaya mantra is specially chanted for freedom from fear of death. Okay, when you say freedom from fear of death, it also implies what? To have the utter, total, absolute fearlessness. Bhayaminmai. Understand? So when you say Lord is victorious over death, means it means reality being free from time limitation, or reality being free from, not being object to time, being free from time limitation is implied by saying that Lord is victorious over death. பரம்பொருளுக்கு கால வரையறை இல்லைன்னு சொல்றத இறைவன் காலனை வென்றவன் சொல்றான். That is the meaning. Okay? So here that means, how can one become free from fear of death? By knowing the reality, which is free from time limitation. So how does knowing the reality, which being free from time limitation, will help one attain freedom from fear of death? Because knowing the reality implies knowing the nature of one's own self. And knowing one's nature of one's own self implies knowing the self being free from mortality. Self being not subject to mortality. Self being immortal. So knowing the nature of the self is equal to knowing the self being immortal. Understand? So knowing the self being immortal is equal to knowing the nature of the self. Knowing the nature of the self is equal to knowing the nature of the reality. Knowing the nature of the reality implies what? Nature of the reality being timelessness. And knowing the nature of the reality being timelessness implies knowing the Lord being victorious over death. Understand now? Long sentence this is. Too many things you have to remember. Is it clear now? Therefore, freedom from fear implies what? Knowledge of the nature of the self. Okay, nature of the self being timelessness. Knowledge of the nature of the self is equal to freedom from fear of death. Or understanding the self being immortal. Listen, that's only way one can become free from fear of death, one can become free from fear for good. This is very, very important. That's why knowledge is always strength and ignorance is weakness. Knowledge of the self is the strength, ignorance is weakness. Where and when there is utter fearlessness is strength and fear is weakness. And knowledge is fear, ignorance is freedom from fear. Now, ignorance is fear and knowledge is freedom from fear. Therefore, knowledge is strength, ignorance is weakness. That is why in this mantra, we ask for many things. There is a prayer. There is also worship. The first sentence, if you say, Om Trimbakai Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtevardhanam. Till then, no, it's one sentence. Om Trimbakai Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtevardhanam. There's one sentence wherein we say Om, it is a sound symbol of the Lord, beginning with which any mantra becomes more efficacious and most effective. So Om, and here Yajamahe means we worship. And we worship, whom do we worship? We worship the Lord. It is understood, we worship the Lord. And we know in Vedic culture, the Lord is the entire cosmos is the Lord. Entire cosmos is the Lord. The reality, the existence which lends existence to the whole universe is the Lord for us. Therefore, the whole universe is the Lord. Understand? Therefore, we worship the Lord, the whole. Okay? The truth of everything. We worship the Lord, Yajamahe. And which sort of Lord? No? Trambakam, Sugandhim, Pushtivadhanam. We have three words which mean the Lord. We worship the Lord who is Trambakaha. Trambakaha, Ambaka means I. And three stands for Trini, means three. So Trambakaha means three-eyed. Okay? Three-eyed. So Trambakam means objective case, three-eyed. Trambakaha means three-eyed. And can we say, when we say Lord has no form, how can we say Lord has three eyes? So here we have to remember very well, in a Vedic culture, the Lord is the whole. If Lord is everything, the whole cosmos is the Lord, then definitely three sources of light are looked upon. You have to understand, symbolic it is, okay? Three sources of light are looked upon as the three eyes of the Lord, the whole universe. We personify the whole Jagat as the Lord, okay? And look at his three sources of light in this cosmos. Sun, moon and fire. So, Trambakam Yajamahe means we worship the Lord, the three-eyed. That means what? The one who is endowed with sun, moon and fire, the three sources of light as three eyes. We worship the Lord, the whole. Okay? Who is endowed with these three sources of light, sun, moon and fire as three eyes. Or who is endowed with these three sources of three eyes. This is the meaning of the first sentence. No? Trambakam Yajamahe. This the meaning is this much. Om Trambakam Yajamahe. Trambakam Yajamahe. In chanting, Trambakam Yajamahe. Then we have another word. Sugandhim. Sugandhim. Then Sugandhim Yajamahe. We have to say next word. Sugandhim Yajamahe. We worship the Lord who is Sugandhihi. Three words mean imply Lord only, mean the Lord. Sugandhim, Sugandhihi. Worship the Lord who is Sugandhihi. What does the word Sugandhihi mean here? Sugandhim mean? Sugandhim is objective of Sugandhihi. Okay?
Fragrance?
Tell it. No, no. Right. So, Gandaha means smell. Sugandha means sweet fragrance. And then, Sugandhihi means the one who has sweet fragrance is called Sugandhihi. Suppose Sugandha is fragrance, a flower is Sugandhi. Why? Fragrant. So, Sugandha, fragrance. Sugandhi, fragrant. Understand, that which has fragrance is what? Fragrant is Sugandhi. Sugandha, Sugandhi. And here, Lord is not the one who is fragrant. Literally it means what? The fragrant Lord. We have to understand here, the fragrance has the capacity to attract the mind towards itself through your nose. Okay, sitting here, you can, you know, smell. You don't need to go, get up and go and see whether there's jasmine inside. In Indian jasmine, if you're sitting here, don't need to get up and go and see whether there's jasmine bunch inside or not. Okay? If you sit here, the fragrance you can make out, my God, jasmine is here. It means what? The mind is taken towards the fragrance. Sweet fragrance attracts the mind towards itself. Similarly, draws the mind. Similarly, the one thing which attracts all the human minds always, everywhere, towards itself is what? All attractive. I told you, Krishna. Remember the meaning of Krishna. Okay? All attractive. Akarshaka. Okay? Sarvani manamsi akarshati. That which attracts all the minds towards itself always, all times, everywhere is what? Happiness. Okay? Happiness. peace, joy attracts all the minds. Which mind is not attracted towards joy and happiness? Understand? Therefore, here Sugandhihi means the one who is the Lord, the truth of the Lord, who is of the nature of happiness, or happiness which attracts all the minds towards itself, is like the sweet fragrance, is called Sugandhihi. You have to remember this. Sugandhihi means the one who is of the nature of happiness which attracts all the minds towards itself. Understand? Like the sweet fragrance is meant by the word, is implied by the word Sugandhihi. Therefore, we say we worship the Lord Sugandhihi, the one who is of the nature of happiness, which Radhiji has got by heart now, which attracts all the minds towards itself like the sweet fragrance. So, Sugandhim Yajamahe. You remember that? When you chant, Om Trambakai Yajamahe Sugandhim. It's complete. Then Pushtivardhanam Yajamahe. You have to say again, Pushtivardhanam Yajamahe. Yajamahe should go with every objective, object, no? Objective case word. Pushtivardhanam Yajamahe. Yajamahe, we worship. Again whom? Pushtivardhanam. Pushtivardhanaha. Pushtihi means health, nourishment. And Vardhanaha means one who rises, one who takes care of, one who governs, one who nourishes. Okay? So Pushtivardhanaha means one who nourishes. With nourishment. One who nourishes. Okay? One who nourishes. Nourishes whom? It understood. One who nourishes all the beings with good nourishment, remaining as the very nutrients. How does the Lord, you know, is nourisher of all beings is called Pushtivardhanaha. So we worship the Lord, the nourisher of all beings. All the beings are, we not mentioned, nourisher of all the beings. Pushtivardhanaha means nourisher. How does the Lord now nourish all the beings? Because it is energy nourishes, now energizes all the beings. And the source of energy, understand? Lord, who is of the, now who is of the nature, the source of energy, Lord being the very source of all forms of energy, and remaining as the very source of energy, remaining as the very source of nutrients, nourishes all the beings. Eva Pushtivardhanaha. When you say everything is the Lord, sun is the Lord, moon is the Lord, plants are the Lord, everything is the Lord, and what do? All that we hear, all the activities, all the functions and activities are nothing but expression of energy. And thinking, see, understand, thinking, knowing, understanding, discovering, constructing, contributing, everything is energy. So energy, you know, that energy, where do you get from? Basically, one has to have any energy, expressed energy is nothing but modified form of the physical, mental, intellectual energy. And that energy is what? Nothing but modified form of the food energy that we eat. And food energy is nothing but the modified form of the plant energy. Understand? And the plant energy is nothing but the modified form of the solar energy. Understand? And then, all the, everything is what? Ishvara, Bhagavan. Therefore, we say, Pushtivardhanaha means nourisher of all beings. Bestower of good health. Therefore, we say, we worship the Lord, the nourisher of all beings. You have to remember this. So, Trayambakam Yajamahe. Sugandhim Yajamahe. Pushtivardhanam Yajamahe. So, we say, Trayambakam Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Yajamahe. Om Trayambakai Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam. So, Trayambakam Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Yajamahe. We worship the Lord who is all the three. Then urvarukameva bandhanan rityor mukshiyamamrita ate. In this sentence, this next sentence, here there is a prayer. This prayer in this sentence is all inclusive, complete, perfect prayer. Okay? Which will put an end to the very act of praying. If you ask me what is the all-inclusive, complete prayer, exalted prayer, an exalted prayer must be an all-inclusive, complete prayer. An all-inclusive, complete prayer must be that which will put an end to the very act of praying. If you pray for something which make you pray again and again, that prayer is a good prayer, but it's not an exalted prayer. An exalted prayer is that which is an all-inclusive, complete prayer. What is that all-inclusive, complete prayer? A prayer which puts an end, okay? Should make your everything complete, in the sense, which should put an end to the very act of praying. There should not be any need for you to pray again and again. If you are blessed with everything, you don't lack anything, then do you need to pray anything? When do you need to pray again? You need to pray again and again only when you lack something. Understand? You shouldn't be completely free from lacking. That means, understand? Therefore, that's the complete prayer. That prayer is here, no? Urvarukiva bandhanan mrityor mukshiya mamrutat. That is a complete prayer. Why? Because what do we here ask for? Mukshiya is the first best prayer. Mukshiya. Mukshiya means liberate. Do liberate, do free. So, O Lord, please do free. Please do liberate. Who? Mom. Please do liberate me. Please do free me. This is the prayer, okay? Free me. And free me from what? Please do free me from the fear of death or the jaws of death. Bondage of death or bondage of karma mean the same actually. Understand? Please do free me from mrityoho bandhanat mukshiya. Mukshiya, please do free from what? Bandhanat. From bondage. Bandhanat means from bondage. Bondage of what? Of mrityuhu. Mrityoho means of death. Okay? Please do free me from the bondage of death. Bondage of death. Mrityoho bandhanat mukshiya. Mrityoho bandhanat mukshiya. Savinudaya pidiyilirundu vidivippiraga. Mrityoho bandhanat mukshiya. Please do free me from the bondage of death. Or please do free me from mortality. That means what? Please, can you ever be freed from the bondage of death? So being freed or liberated from bondage of death means being liberated from, being freed from the fear of death. Understand? You will not be sitting forever. Death is definite. Birth is definite. Death is definite. But the fear, okay? Fear of death caused by what? The fear, the death being centered on I. I am going to die. That notion. Understand? I am a mortal. I am going to die. I will die. Now, that notion that I am going to die. Listen now. So here, freedom from fear of death is becoming free from mortality, becoming free from the bondage of death. All of us are definitely going to die. Doesn't mean that you're going to live forever. People think, oh, what are immortality? Many people think they will be living long, okay, thousands of years. No. Everybody definitely will be dying. Maybe we can...
No.
We will die definitely. Death is definite. But what I'm saying, death is definite. But here, becoming free from fear of death is becoming free from mortality. Understand? Therefore, when you say, ask for, oh Lord, please free me from the jaws of death, means please free me from the fear of death. So how can you become free from fear of death? Here, understanding the self being immortal, self being not subject to time, is what? Becoming free from fear of death. Therefore, this one sentence, Mrityoho bandhanat mukshiya, is equal to, O Lord, please free me from the bondage of death. Please free me from the jaws of death. But what does it mean? Please free me from the fear of death. O Lord, please, okay? It means, please bless me with the knowledge of the self being, okay? Self. Please bless me with the knowledge of the self. Understand, if you have the knowledge of the self, you know what the self is, then you will definitely know the nature of the self being immortal. So this one prayer, please free me from fear of death, means please bless me. That one sentence implies another prayer. So very important this is. One sentence implies so many prayers. Not one prayer. Please free me from fear of death means, please free me from jaws of death. Please free me from fear of death. Please bless me with the knowledge of the self being, you know, free from time limitation. Please bless me with the knowledge of the nature of the self. Please bless me with the knowledge of the self. Therefore, this prayer implies what? Self-knowledge. You ask for self-knowledge. Suppose for one to have the ascertained doubt-free knowledge of the self, nature of the self, being free from mortality, self, no? To have this doubt-free knowledge of the self, what one needs is what? Contemplative disposition. See, without having had the contemplative disposition, it is impossible to constantly dwell upon the nature of the self. Without constantly dwelling upon the nature of the self, it is impossible to have the ascertained vision of the self. Therefore, this prayer also implies what? When you say, Mrityoho bandhanat mukshiya, means, what next prayer? O Lord, please free me from the jaws of death. Please free me from bondage of death. Please free me from the fear of death. Please bless me with the knowledge of the nature of the self. Please bless me with the knowledge of the self. Understand? This prayer also implies, O Lord, please bless me with the contemplative disposition of the mind. Next prayer. My mind is so restless and agitated, it doesn't remain still at all. It keeps wandering here and there, so restless. I know the value of knowledge, understand now? So please bless me with the contemplative, quiet disposition of the mind, understand? So that prayer also is implied here. And to have a contemplative disposition, you should be what? You should be focused. And to be focused in one thing, you should not be distracted towards many other things. In order not to be distracted towards many other things, to be focused on nature of the reality, your mind must be taken, not drawn away from everything else means, how can you draw the mind? You cannot draw the mind. The mind has to naturally grow out of desire for so many things. The mind, okay, if you know the value of the knowledge of the self, naturally you will have passion for knowledge. And if you know the limitations of other things, that other things cannot get you moksha, you will naturally develop dispassion towards other things. Understand? That is why with the Purusharthan is chairs very important. If you know all that in my life, ultimately what I want is peace and everlasting happiness. Understand? That is to be discovered. If you know, naturally, I need to have what? Know the value of knowledge. Know the value of knowledge. Know the limitations of other things. Then, if you know the value of knowledge and limitations of other things, you will have passion for knowledge. Passion for knowledge of the self will help you discover dispassion towards other things. Understand? Therefore, O Lord, this sentence implies another prayer. O Lord, please bless me with maturity, okay, to discover dispassion towards other things, by understanding their limitations, understand, and to discover passion for, to have, knowing the value of knowledge, having the passion for knowledge. It's a very beautiful mantra. Understand now? This much next prayer is... See, one sentence implies so many prayers. That's why it says a complete prayer. Therefore, it's maturity. That implies what? Maturity. See, maturity means what here? Maturity means... In fact, knowing the value of knowledge, having passion for the knowledge, thereby knowing the limitations of everything else, that they cannot give you what you seek in life, thereby discovering dispassion towards, naturally being dispassionate, becoming dispassionate towards everything else is what implies the maturity. Okay? Maturity. You don't make the efforts to detach. Naturally, you don't like to play with balloons anymore. You know what will get you money, you'll be more interested in something, things which will get you more money than simply playing with balloons. It's like that, no? See, what I want, very clear. You don't mean to make effort, you don't make any big efforts to have any liking for playing with balloons or what. No, very natural thing. All that you need is what? Maturity. What is maturity? Understanding. So knowing the value of knowledge. See, what I want in life is, okay, freedom from fear of death. That is possible only in the wake of knowledge of the self. Therefore, I know the value of knowledge. I know the limitations of everything else. What that all other things, other than the self-knowledge, they cannot give me what I ultimately seek in life. Therefore, naturally, I have dispassion to this maturity born of understanding of limitations of other things, that I grow out of desire for other things. Naturally, I have dispassion for other things and I have passion for knowledge. That's all. Passion for knowledge will, knowing the value of knowledge will help you discover the limitations of other things, thereby help you discover dispassion towards everything else. Understand? Therefore, O Lord, please bless me with the maturity to know the value of knowledge, thereby have passion for knowledge, thereby knowing the limitations of other things, discover dispassion towards other things. This is another prayer. And to become mature like that, once I become mature, I don't need to do anything big. If I have understanding, I become mature. If I become mature, I have passion for knowledge, dispassion towards everything else. That is implied by the word urvarukam eva. Look at this. Urvarukam eva. Eva means like. Okay? Make me mature like the Urvarukam. Make me mature. Urvarukam means what? Here it is a melon. No, this the sweet melon which you eat here. Not the watermelon. The some sort of sweet melon we eat here.
Just
a melon. No, we somehow Hamara it's a pond melon. But nobody seems to be knowing that word pond melon. I don't know. It's a melon.
Yeah, darbuza.
No, not darbuza.
Darbuza nahi, kharbuza.
Mm-hmm.
This is the
Galia
melon, like that.
Yeah. Anyway, some melon, okay, some melon fruit. Okay, I'll show you something when you come to India. Or even here it is there. Even here it is. It's so much available everywhere. Okay, that's melon. See, we only see melon here, okay? You never saw the melon hanging from the creeper. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hang because it's too heavy. And the creeper is too delicate and tender. The fruit is too heavy, so it can never hang like this, okay? It's always just, it will be on the floor. So what happens, the melon it will be attached to the stalk, there will be the flower, the fruit, and we grow, and as long as until it becomes ripe, the fruit will be attached to the stalk. The melon, until it becomes ripe, the fruit will be attached to the stalk. And you have to pluck it actually. But, no, very quite strong actually. And if it becomes ripe, you don't need to pluck it. No way. The fruit detaches itself from the stalk. The fruit will remain wherever it is, but it will detach itself from the stalk. Okay? So, the rishis must have observed this. And then, they say, hey, see, the problem is this attachment of the stalk with the fruit, attachment of the fruit with the stalk stands for our being passionate towards the worldly stuff. Okay, worldly stuff means what? I mean, artha kama dharmas. He does not mean that you should not have any attachment to artha kama dharmas. Okay, pursuit of artha kama dharmas are not rejected here. Here, understanding of the limitations of artha kama dharmas is important. Limitations is one has to understand the limitations of artha kama dharma. One should pursue artha kama dharma. Artha kama dharmas are very, very important, but one should know the limitation of it, that they cannot give what they cannot give is very important. So understanding the limitations of artha kama dharmas, no, is what understanding is will result in maturity. That means naturally, and you also know the value of knowledge, that it can give you what you want. Understand? This understanding will result in what? Maturity. Understand the maturity born of understanding. Once you are mature, means here mature, no, mature means so mentally you are mature. Mental maturity, not physical growth. Mental maturity, emotional maturity, no, is implied with the word ripeness. Ripeness of the fruit. When the fruit is ripe, then mental maturity is likened to ripeness of the fruit. When you are ripe and mature mentally, then you also, like the watermelon, listen, not the watermelon, sort of like this melon, the ripe melon detaches itself from the stalk. The mature-minded person also detaches himself from the pursuit of other things. That means what? He discovers dispassion towards other things. Understand? So what is important is one has to become mature. One has to become ripe mentally. Immaturity is likened to being unripe. Unripe fruit is likened to the immaturity. That is why it is impossible for one to be detached and dispassion until one becomes mature. That is why the whole Shastram helps one to become mature. Therefore he says, O Lord, just as Urvarukam Iva. Okay, I have to tell a long sentence here. Urvarukam Iva. Like the sweet melon, that's all. So we have to make a long sentence. Just as the ripe melon detaches itself from the stalk, similarly, make me emotionally mature, thereby help me discover dispassion towards other pursuits and have passion for knowledge. Understand? This is also another implied. Now, to have this maturity, to have passion for knowledge, dispassion towards everything else, what should I do? I need to live a life of dharma. Understand? Therefore, O Lord, please bless me with the knowledge of right and wrong. Help me choose to do the right, avoid the wrong. Understand? And thereby help me discover dispassion towards other things. Help me have passion for knowledge. Bless me with the maturity. All these are prayed for. Help me with the maturity. Bless me with the maturity. Bless me with the contemplative disposition. Understand? Only if I have passion for knowledge, this, if I have discover other things, then it is easy for me to be contemplative. So bless me with the maturity to have passion for knowledge, dispassion to other things. Bless me with the contemplative disposition. Bless me with the knowledge of the nature of the reality self. Bless me with freedom from fear of death. Bless me with freedom from mortality. 100 is long, so many prayers. Urvarukamiva bandhanan mrityor mukshiyam amrutat. Then ma amrutat. O Lord, please don't free me from immortality. Free me from mortality is emphatically said with two negatives, saying, don't free me from immortality, but free me from mortality. Is it okay? This is Mrityunjaya mantra. That's why I say it's a complete prayer. If you pray like this, ask for knowledge of right and wrong, ask for the strength and knowledge to do the right, avoid the wrong, and ask for mental purity and mental steadiness, ask for maturity, which will help you to have dispassion to other things and passion for knowledge, and ask for knowledge of this reality self, ask for the contemplative disposition, ask for the knowledge of the self, ask for freedom from fear of death, ask for freedom from fear for good, ask for freedom from mortality, asking for moksha. I tell you, what I miss now? That is why it says it's an all-inclusive complete prayer. When you do this, I tell you, as you are chanting, you will have good physical strength, physical health, and mental strength, sharpness of intellect, steadiness of mind, healthy body, sound healthy body, and right thinking, and also you'll be in the right track. This is for long life, long, healthy, happy, prosperous life. This is the mantra. That is for every birthday, any birthday, we chant this mantra. Mrityunjaya mantra. This is a mantra.
I've got a CD.
Mantra invoking. Mantra invoking the grace of the Lord as the victorious over on victory over death. You have to chant it. You have to chant it. It's not simply listening to the things. You have to chant it orally, aloud or mentally. Is it okay? Mantra is over now. Om Tryambakaya Jamahe Sugandhim Pushtevardhanam Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyam Amrutat. Om ॐ त्र्यम्बकै यजामहे सुगन्धिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बन्धनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षेयमामृतात् ॐ त्र्यम्बकै यजामहे सुगन्धिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् Because the moksha concept, people think mokshaha means, you know, something to be attained after death, or somewhere, going somewhere and attaining something. Really speaking, see, all these problems are, problems in life, unhappiness, is all because of the limitations, because of being subject to limitations. And then we always, all our efforts and endeavors are to free ourselves from the limitations. You can never become free from limitations. Because the body has its own limitations, mind has its own limitations, intellect has its own limitations, sense powers have their own limitations, and the pranas have their own limitations. So being subject to limitations, of course it has some. Everything has its own strength and power, but everything is subject to limitations. And then all our efforts are to free ourselves from the limitations. And can you ever become free from limitations? There is no way of becoming free from limitations. Okay? So that's why here, the limitations will be there. In the part of body mind is complex. So one can free oneself from limitations only by discovering what is limitlessness. Understand? That means one is already limitlessness. One is already free from limitations. Shastram says you are already free from limitations. Because you are already limitlessness yourself. I tell you the secret. Okay, Shastram says, you are already limitlessness or happiness yourself. Therefore, you can never become free from limitations. You can never become happy. Why? Because you are already yourself limitlessness and happiness. In spite of yourself being limitlessness, you think you are a limited being. You are subject to limitations. In spite of yourself being happiness, you think you want to become happy. You are unhappy. You are unhappy. Why is this? Because due to the lack of the knowledge of what limitlessness is, what happiness is, you seem to be limited. You think you are a limited being, subject to all these limitations. Therefore, discovering what limitlessness is, what happiness is the only way to free yourself from limitations. There is no way of becoming free from limitations without having discovered limitlessness. So, discovering what limitlessness is, what happiness is the way to free yourself from limitations. Because you can never become free from limitations. Otherwise.
It's discovering the illusion of limitations. Right?
Discovering limitlessness.
Right.
Understand?
Mm-hmm. And that limitations are only in...
Yeah. Discovering limitlessness, happiness implies what? Discovering the nature of the self. Discovering the nature of the self implies what? Discovering the very self, knowing the very self, recognition of the self. Therefore, know the self, okay, recognize yourself and have right identity, discover what happiness is, thereby in discovering what happiness is, limitlessness is, resolve all the limitations in limitlessness. Okay, resolve the limitations of the non-self in the limitlessness of the self. That is why self-knowledge is a must. and for which Shastram is the only means to know. That's why we are studying Upanishad. I was telling her this morning when she was asking me, because long gap, you see. And then it's not that overnight, even though we study and understand one Upanishad, we had to go to next Upanishad, next Upanishad, next and next and next. The more and more and more and more and more we study, the clarity will enhance, increase. That's why it's people will feel tired of listening to one thing. We are too distracted towards so many things, unimportant things, so naturally very difficult to bring the mind back to this. This is the connection, okay? Shastra study helps me understand the nature of the self, understand what the self is, thereby to be able to contemplate upon the nature of the self. Understand? See, to understand the nature of the self, you need Shastra. Understand? And having understood the nature of the self, to be then contemplation, Shastra will not sit with you. And I'm saying, see, you are asked to be with yourself. So you have to be with yourself all the time. Being with oneself implies what? Being focused on the nature of the self. Being with oneself means not being with the non-self. Not being with the non-self means what? Being focused on the nature of the self. How can you be focused on the nature of the self if you do not know what the nature of the self is? So understand the nature of the self, Shastram helps as means of knowledge. Then, once Shastram has helped you to discover the nature of the self, then you have to be dwelling on the nature of the self, which you have understood with the help of the Shastram, which is called contemplation, which will help in ascertaining the nature of the self, which is freedom from limitations, which is discovering limitlessness, thereby resolving the limitations in this limitlessness. That is why simply read, that's why here everything goes together. See, how can you say the prayer, you should see the necessity, importance of prayer there, and you should know what you're praying for. Once you are saying you're praying for something, whom are you praying to? The Lord is brought in here. Ishvara is brought in here. You can't ignore Ishvara, you can't take away Ishvara from there. You are praying. You are worshipping. You are thankful to Bhagavan for all that you are blessed with. So you are worshipful, you are prayerful. That means you are religious here. And you are not simply religious, you are spiritual, because there is a goal, vision behind everything. There is a prayer and worship, because you are praying for something, you are spiritual. And in this context, you know the value of being ethical, so you are ethical. You are ethical, religious and spiritual. Understand? And so it's not simply reflecting on some sentences. It's not simply go and take some sentences, read, Atma, something, read the sentence and reflect on the meaning of the sentence. What are you going to reflect on sentence if you don't know all the connections? You're simply reflecting on sentences. Understand? How can you reflect on this meaning of sentence if you have not understood correctly what it means? So you can't just leave other side some certain things kind of Upanishad and take only certain things of the Upanishad. And here we don't say, okay, worship the Lord, pray to the Lord means no particular form is mentioned here. No particular thing is imposed or compelled here. When you say, I pray to the Lord, who is Sugandhi, Pushtivardhana, and all that, when you say, no given form, no particular form is imposed, compelled here. Understand? We say the Lord is the whole. Why? Because whole Jagat is manifestation of the only truth. One truth always manifests as the whole. So the whole Jagat is the Lord here. The truth is the Lord. Reality is the Lord. The whole Jagat being the manifestation of that only truth, the whole Jagat is the Lord. That is why whole we say Ishvara. Which form is emphasized here? Which form, which particular form is imposed, compelled here? No. The Lord. No form is rejected here. That's why it's universal. It's universal. You say, Trimbakam, Yajamahe. Now, Sugandhi, when you say, Of course, Lord must be of the nature of the happiness, limitlessness. Okay? The Lord is also of the nature of, Lord means the truth here. Lord is also not of the nature of limitlessness. Lord becomes a limited being. A limited being, how can a limited being bless you with the limitlessness? Unhappy person cannot make another person happy. I tell you, unhappy person can never make another person happy. But Bhagavan cannot be. So when you say, Lord, bless me with the, okay, therefore Lord must be of the nature of happiness. When you say, Lord, who is of the nature of limitlessness and happiness, or limitless happiness, it's a perfect sentence. Do we mean particular Lord here? No particular form, no particular name, just the swarupam. That is why universal. How can you reject prayer and worship here? How can you take away Ishvara there? How can you suggest reflect on the meaning of these mantras? If this mantra, Mrityunjaya mantra, is part of the, it's also from the Veda. And there's a prayer. This concept of Lord must be told. Only the Upanishad study is possible. It makes it meaningful. No, Shiva is Shiva again. Shiva, one of the names of the Lord. Shiva, one of the names of the Lord. Yeah. Again, I'm saying Shiva, Vishnu, everything is same. Different names of the only Bhagavan. See, the forms you have given, different forms to different names. That's all, that's a problem. Understand? Otherwise, all the names mean the only Lord. Who is Shiva? Whole Jagat is Shiva. It's an whole universe is Shiva. That is why every Shiva, you can always see Shiva, you can see Chandra, sun, moon, you can see fire here. Or fire of knowledge. Say, suppose we invoke the Lord, when we go to Shiva temple, we invoke, chant these mantras. There again, with the form, which is symbol for the Lord, the whole. Whichever form you see, nothing wrong. Any form becomes a symbol. Actually, see, Lord is, this is a universal prayer here. So when you say whole, it is, one who is of the nature of happiness.
For someone else could be Muhammad or whatever.
No, what? That's why I'm saying, no, if the people, here, what I'm saying, it can be anything, but the people who worship, when I worship Lord Shiva, for me, Shiva is a symbol which stands for the whole. Mm-hmm. The Christian worships Lord Christ, if for him, Christ only is a symbol which stands for the whole, it goes with the meaning. I was only the Christ,
Yeah.
His concept of Lord is very important. Mm-hmm. That is the problem with the people who worship other forms. If they don't have the same concept of Lord,
mm-hmm.
that is the problem. That's why they become, for them, that their form is so important. Any form is okay.
Right.
For other people, because the concept of Lord is different. So, okay, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.